It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. It's Father's Day weekend.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, if you ever grill any weekend, this better be the one. If dad's got a new piece of equipment, we'll talk a little bit about that maybe, but also, you know, get him out there, let him fire up the grill, cook what he wants. This might be a steak weekend for you, but I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And Conrad, thanks for joining us this morning. The smokiest show on the airwaves. Of course, you can catch us on thegrillingguys.com if you are into podcasts, and we have thousands of podcasts. Make sure you go to our website or go to your podcast app and just punch in The Grilling Guys, and we may or may not pop up. But
right.
If we do, you can follow us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's instructions on the site. And check out all our sponsors on the right-hand side because they keep us on the air.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Schmoe's Brewery. Got to get over there on Patterson, just north of 28. Grab some of this. This is a family-owned brewery. They make some great beer.
Yeah, what they're throwing down right now. The founder is back in the seat brewing, and Jim is...
Makes a difference.
I'll tell you what, he's a scientist. He's an engineer, actually, but I guess that's a scientist.
Right.
Well, engineering is a science.
Right, yeah.
They engineer their beer anyway. They're a bunch of Michigan Tech people, and
yep.
We do love their product. But I thought summer was on, but... doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, got up this morning and walked the dog. It was 52 degrees. I was like, man.
Time to get your targets out and start practicing with your bow.
Yeah, exactly. We're about 3 months early. But, I mean, we had that Memorial Day stuff was way warm, way early, and now we're kind of paying for it. But, boy, we could use some rain.
Well, we get those in January sometimes.
Right, yeah.
I'll tell you what's cool is... right now, the fawns are all out running around.
Yep.
And
dinky little guys, aren't
they?
Oh,
yeah. I've got a group of deer in behind my house in the woods that seem to have... They're building so many houses around me that I still have a nice protected piece of woods. And
yeah.
They seem to enjoy that.
Sure.
So...
well, and you don't have Zeus anymore.
We've got right. One yeah. Beautiful... The spots on this fawn are bigger than I think I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Just like... It's so cool. They're just so cute.
Yep, they are. They are very cute.
And not big enough to be tasty yet.
Not yet. Exactly.
But we have summer family going on at our house. Been working on the pool. Unfortunately, I turned the heater on. And that was stupid.
Yep. Gas meters. Gas meters like a fan.
You can hear it from the next property over.
Yeah, squealing. Yeah. Yeah, I did the same thing this morning. We got some people coming over later today and then again tomorrow for Father's Day. And I'm like, you know, the pool, we had it when it was warm. And around Memorial Day, we had it up to 84, and we kind of haven't been working with it for a week, and it dropped down to 70. And I'm like, ooh, that's going to put some dollars in there to heat that thing
and
back up.
And now it's in the 50s.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at night. Yeah, I mean, the little solar blanket helps, but it doesn't protect it completely.
So I have to get back right back home and start pulling on butts. I'm feeding a family reunion of 200 today.
Ooh.
So
that's a lot of work.
It's yeah. Fortunately, it's all pork shoulder. I didn't have to do any brisket. It's tough when you get hundreds of people and you've got butts and briskets because, as you know, that's a lot of space on the smoker.
Yes,
and the brisket takes a lot of time,
right?
Because you're busy slicing it.
Yeah. I did three butts for a small little event, little 30 person event. I made three butts on my big green egg, and I was surprised. I was running it at about 275, but they got done in like 7 hours. I was really surprised. It's usually a 9 or 10 hour deal, but you know, I got my ThermoQ and put the probes in each one of those, and then it's got the little remote, so it tells me what the temperatures are. Damn, they came right up quick. I mean, I got up and put them on at 5 a.m, and by like, you know, 10, they were ready to wrap. And another hour and a half, boom, they were done. So
I did another one yesterday for an unfortunate situation. A friend had a young person from their church that was killed in an auto accident by a drunk driver.
Ouch.
Only child.
Ouch. Well,
so
doesn't matter. Yeah,
my dear friend said, "Hey, can you do some food?" And this is, let's just say, an impoverished family. So it was just a charity.
Sure, you got to do that. Yep.
Easily done. It's too easy.
Yeah.
But it's just so saddening to hear of a 16-year-old getting killed by somebody on the road.
Yep. Very tragic.
Do you remember last year, you kind of mocked me for it because I was going down the, strange. I was going down the trail. I had that Cliff High report that I was talking about with a grand solar minimum and how it popped all the leaves and how it just changed everything. So later on in the season, I was reading more reports, and I said, you know, if this is like the one that happened in the 1800s, they had the year with no summer. I said, so next summer might be cool. And by golly, it's kind of looking like we're getting some of that same effect that they got in the 1800s from that whatever happens in the cosmos that makes the sun cool down like that.
Well, everything old is new again.
It's right? Dynamic, so, yeah. So
right. I mean, could be.
When they say trust the science.
We'll ask you in a couple of weeks when it's 90 out there and your pool's full of people.
I hope so.
Is that the grand solar maximum then?
Well, I hope so, because we don't want a summer with no heat.
Well, no. Heck no, we don't, and we'll get it. It's just, yeah, weather's weather, man. It comes and goes, and
yeah.
it's one of those things. But anyway, so I've got a party that I got to cook for. I need brisket and butts. And you just touched on something. I want to, because there's often people really, you know, everybody wants brisket. I mean, that's like the king of meat on the smoker. And so this one's
I would even add a caveat to that I've noticed. The women tend to prefer pulled pork.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So this is a rehearsal dinner, 50 people, and they want both brisket and pork. If you were doing that, Bob, which one? I think you put the brisket on first, but how do you plan for temperature, grill space when they both got to be on there? Are you just putting a probe in each one of them and monitoring them, or temperature's the same? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I like to take a big portion of that flat and cut that Packer brisket at a diagonal so that the flat that's revealed on the end, I take that right off, and I cook those pieces separately. So I'm going to put my point on a higher level, if it's a
points the thicker part.
If it's a locker smoker, especially you've got racks, so I'm probably going to put maybe the butts on top, and then the point, and then the flat at the bottom, something like that. But I'm still going to watch the temperatures very, very closely.
So that point, which is the thicker part of a Packer brisket, is similar density and similar thickness to a pork shoulder or a pork butt.
It's
right
it's
where the flat is thinner. So you want to separate that, because if you wait to pull the flat, when the thicker pieces are done, your flat's going to be way overdone,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And I think that's the point that I wanted to make.
Thank you.
So, yeah. But the point that beef point.
Now you're just going to say point all the time.
I'm trying to make a point, and I'm struggling, baby. I'm struggling. But that's going to cook slower than a pork shoulder. Right, the thicker part of the beef, it's more dense. There's more cartilage in there, connective tissue.
I think it's similar. I don't compare them much, and you know, it just seems like, because very often there's so many pieces on the grates that you're just going independently, individually, and just dancing from one piece to another. It is a trick, and every smoker is different. You have hotter areas than others,
right?
But it is a trick, so you have to kind of move your meat around from time to time.
Right. I've been told that all my life.
Don't touch that.
All my life I've been told that. You know what? Get off the couch and move your meat around. It'll make you a better man.
Why do I even try?
Right. Yep. Exactly. But anyway, that's just, you know, as the summer progresses, our listeners are going to have those situations where you're using different thicknesses, different densities, different types of meat, and they're all on the same smoker because you got to get them done at the same time meal.
And you just got to dive into them. Don't pussyfoot.
Yep.
Just take a chance and take some of these tips. We may be right, we may be wrong, but for the most part, people seem to like our food. So.
Yeah. And so you just got to, you know what? And if you're going to mess something up, it's okay to mess up a pork shoulder. They're, what, $1.69 a pound?
And they're forgiving.
Right. They're very forgiving, too. Yeah, you got a range of temperature where they're still good. But coming up next, we got a guy in town that builds barbecue trailers. and we got him on the show. So it's going to be Marcos Fernandez at Ideal Welding Solutions. Stick with us. We'll be back.
When it's time for bass fishing, don't do it bass backwards. Go to the bass fishing experts at Allen Bob Sports, now inside Millbrook Tack Building at 510 68th Street Southwest, just off 131. Tell them you want the Grilling Guys discount and you'll save $5 off your $25 purchase with some exclusions. Allen Bob Sports, online at allenbobs.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big.
Stick around. Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys, and thanks for tuning in. It's Father's Day weekend. Get out in your backyard and get something going with your dad and spend some time in front of a grill, maybe cold beverage in your hand. This would be a great weekend to do that. But
yeah, and we spent last weekend prepping for Father's Day. So, I mean, today, if your Father's Day, if you don't have your dad figured out, for you're not going to change it based on what we say. But what this show is about is the evolution of barbecue. And I ran into a fella here named Marcos Fernandez. How are you, Marcos?
Pretty good.
Thanks so much for coming in. You're a busy man, but he's out in Hudsonville, and he's making barbecue trailers.
Yes, I do. We do design to manufacture.
How'd you ever get into that?
Well, I'm a metal fabricator. Started my own metal fabrication company a couple of years ago, and my brother and my brother-in-law, or ex-brother-in-law, they had, one guy had a trailer, one guy had a smoker, and they said, well, we want to combine them together.
Right.
And now he's your ex-brother-in-law who got to keep the smoker.
I did.
Yeah, he who makes it has a title to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yep. I kept it and kept going.
So tell us about that process, because I would imagine that that's something that guys have thought about. Of I've got a piece of equipment and I've got a trailer and I'd like to make it mobile. Maybe I could take it to my cottage or a second home or wherever. But So how did that come together?
Okay, at first it was a Sea-Doo trailer, and I reinforced the frame, and with the smoker, my brother let it sit for so long that it rusted out the bottom. So I rebuilt it.
Okay,
I rebuilt it from scratch.
And metal fabricators are cool that way.
Oh yeah. There's nothing you can't do with a welder and a grinder and some cut steel, right?
I mean, definitely.
So what did it look like? I mean, a Sea-Doo trailer's got bunks on it to hold the machine, okay, so you had to tear all that down, make it flat.
We took it down to bare metal, the way down to the original frame. I reinforced the frame out, squared it out, put the smoker on the back, put a storage cabinet in front, and I put a stand in the middle. The stand in the middle held a Blackstone.
Oh, okay. So you got a griddle on it, too.
Now you got Randy's attention.
Does the griddle come off the trailer, or is it permanently?
Yes, it comes off, and you're able to store it inside a storage container.
So okay. One thing you had to consider was the weight distribution, because trailers definitely are tricky on that.
Definitely.
You don't want too much
definitely
weight in the back end.
Definitely. And it wasn't, because I used eighth-inch thick steel all the way through,
yep.
So the front was so heavy that it drove perfectly, and especially off my first one.
And that launched you into actually building barbecue trailers for people.
Yes, I build for that. Once again, we do design and manufacture. A person gives me a sketch. I send it to my engineering team. From my engineering team, he gives us a bill of material. This is what we need. Get it done.
So are you getting more and more of those people coming to you wanting to order?
Yes, I actually have one on my floor right now where we took a trailer just right off. It used to be some old dump trailer. Took it right down to the frame. Now I'm building it up, put a roof on it.
So how long will something like that be? Is that with a roof on it? Now you've got structure. How do you plan for that to go down the road without ripping the roof off? You know, I mean, things like that.
Well, it's just when you look at it and you understand how the welds go and how the structure is. It's almost like building a house. You're just building a house on a trailer.
And now, have you done any with the telescopic roofs where they crank up when you get to the job? Because I see some guys doing that now, so it tows without the big structure up there. Just streamlined.
Oh, yeah. I haven't done those, none of those like that, but I can.
So all right. So you got my interest piqued here because we have a trailer smoker that needs some love. Okay, so the smoker part of it, okay, are you fabricating those from the ground up or is somebody bringing you a steel smoker that they have otherwise? You talked about reinforcing your brother-in-law's or whatever.
Yeah.
So explain that process
to me.
Okay,
no, we can actually build it from scratch.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Or we can, on that one, the bottom rusted out. So
right.
What I did was I took the top. We had all sandblasted. I reinforced the whole top and redid the bottom. I pretty much built the whole bottom from scratch.
Okay. So are your engineers designing smokers or?
Yeah, they design whatever a person needs.
Okay, because I'm thinking that if I wanted to have a smoker trailer, one that's trailerable, there's a lot of them out there on the market that you could get a picture of or something and try to, you know, fabricate something. Would you prefer somebody brings you a mountable smoker and you put it on a trailer and then fabricate around it? Or do you prefer just bring me a trailer, we'll build everything from the trailer up?
Build it from scratch, or else I can build the trailer myself.
Yeah.
That's, yep. You know what I mean? I'd rather build it from scratch because then we know what's into it.
Right, and you know it's done, you know, right.
And that's the thing is we've done a ton of research on doing reverse flow, what's the thickness that needs to go in. It's just so much that goes into building one.
Uh-huh.
And it's really piqued my interest because now I got to understand the heat levels.
Okay.
What, you know what I mean? So even like right now, we're building a custom Santa Maria grill.
What does that mean? I don't know what Santa Maria means.
Santa Maria is it's an open flame type of grill with a crank on top.
Oh, yeah.
So the grate goes up and down.
I just not heard that term.
You know what I mean? Well, that type of grill stems from Santa Maria, California.
Okay.
And then I have like a Bucero. As on the side of it, what that does, that heats all up your coals, then you can distribute it underneath.
Okay.
Underneath your whole grate.
And that's a common practice, especially in the South with pit barbecue. They'll build their fire in one area and they'll just shovel in the coals. It keeps you from getting a lot of flare-ups. You're making your own charcoal.
Right, yeah,
yep.
Basically, yeah.
You know, on the one side, I just got regular grates. On the other side, I have this whole top is stainless steel, so stainless steel V-iron. That it comes down on an angle, so then they got a grease drip pan on it. So on one side, it can be more flame broiled. On the other side, the grease isn't dripping, so the flames ain't coming up.
Right.
So it's more of a smothering type.
Yeah, right. Slow and easy cook rather than direct flame. Yeah, interesting. So these things, are you building them for, do you have a line of them, or is every one of these custom, or what's your thoughts?
Every one of them's custom.
Okay.
We're working on getting basically working on a certain print before we can make a line.
Right.
But as of right now, everything's custom. So if you guys come in, you sketch something on a piece of paper, this is what I want, I'm going to build you a print. You okay it, I build it.
Okay.
So you got to take lots of pictures because people that are in the dream phase, they need help, you know. And
yeah, definitely.
You can show them the ideas that other people have come up with, and that's how all this has evolved over the centuries, basically.
Right.
None of us have original ideas.
Yeah, and that's a good thing about it because everything's custom to how you want it. And then, you know, maybe we're able to laser any design that you would like. If you want your name on it, if you want a date on it, however you want it, we can do it.
I noticed there's just more and more food trucks and trailers on the market and guys getting into it. The food truck thing really, really took off. And they'll call a trailer like Fernandez is making here. They call it a food truck, but, you know, it's just tows more appropriately.
Right.
Definitely.
Yep. And these things are balanced out and you can hook onto them.
So do you have a website?
Yes. My website is www.idealweldingusa.com.
Okay.
And we're located at 2400 Chicago Drive. And our phone number is 419-0657.
Okay.
So he's out in Hooterville.
Yeah, man. Right. Not too far from the studio,
Michigan.
Here. That's
yeah.
Cool. But so, yeah. Fernando, if somebody wanted to have one of these barbecue trailers, beginning to end, what is the turnaround time? I mean, I get it. There's a lot of variables, but roughly, is it months? Is it a year?
No, usually about 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Depending on what you want, we can get in and out with 4 to 6 weeks. That's our catch.
Marcos, we thank you so much for coming in, and we just wish you the best of luck. I hope to see you again.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Coming up next, old school pit barbecue. How you do that? Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Kind of cool that... The Ideal Welding Solutions has a little niche in making smokers. Any of you guys out there listening that want something, you know, unique and cool, be the guy to call.
Yeah.
Sound like 4 weeks, you can turn one around.
Let's say you have an old smoker that's got the bottom rusted out.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know,
sounds like
he
fixed one of those. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because he mentioned getting a pit and burning your hardwood sticks and building your coal like they do in pit style in the South. And
right.
I mean, that's just a very common way to barbecue. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I guess what I always wanted to know is, how do you determine what charcoal to use? And I know I talk about this quite a bit, but I'm still amazed at how many people just don't know anything about charcoal.
Right. Yep. You sold it for quite a while, so you have a great knowledge of it. Let's share a little bit of it.
Well, I guess I, for the longest time when I was a younger dad, was buying briquettes.
Sure.
Like everybody. And I never knew the difference. And then I went out to Kansas City and got trained and started repping for Ace of Hearts. And, of course, they had a good charcoal. And I really learned a lot about the science. And I guess I used it for so long, I kind of forgot that I ever used briquettes until I got to an event somewhere and somebody brought a bunch of the big brand briquettes and they threw them in the smoker, or they gave them to me, and we had to use them. And I remember lifting up the burn box and the smell that came out of it was so offensive after burning pure lump.
Right.
To smell a briquette, which has all kinds of additives in it. Those things go on your food.
The additives. Well, they're going by your food the whole time you're cooking.
Spray those molds. Briquettes are basically made out of the silth that comes out of a lump charcoal kiln. And when they actually bring front end loaders in and bring all this charcoal and they load it into giant hoppers and bag it, right? Crush it and bag it, and you end up with a lot of black powder. And it's not the kind that explodes. It's just dirty black powder. So somebody got the great idea to form that into a briquette. And since it turned into a giant industry, they produce so much volume. I mean, if you just go into one big box store, take Menards, for example, you'll see pallets and pallets of briquettes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's dozens of stores in every metro area.
Sure.
And there's hundreds of those metro areas in the country. I mean, they're producing a ton.
Right.
So that kind of volume requires speed. So what they've done is they've come up with mixers and things that take that black silth and it mixes it with clay and I don't know what else. I'm sure it's proprietary. But they have these molds and then they fill these molds with that sloth.
Or, slurry.
Yeah.
Right.
And they bake it. And that's how you get a briquette. Well, it wants to stick to the forms. So what they do is they spray those molds with borax.
Okay.
That's how it releases. Well, that's that caustic smell I picked up. It's offensive.
Right.
Borax is very, I'm surprised the FDA in all their wisdom allows for that to go in.
Well, it burns off, but it burns by your food as well. Now,
yeah.
Is it going to kill you? No, or they wouldn't be out there, and the whole industry does it. But does it impact your food?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know, because, you know, what we used to teach people is that if you're burning applewood, make sure it was never in an orchard, because dozens of years of spraying with pesticides, that's in that tree.
Right.
And you don't want that fume going into your food. You're putting all those pesticides into your food. So these guys that go, oh, I got a bunch of apple, they just cut down an orchard. Don't do it.
Right.
You know, you can heat your house with it, and it's mediocre for heat.
Right. Yeah, it's not hard enough.
And
yeah.
I personally don't think the flavor of applewood's anything special. I don't know how it ever got to be so popular.
Right.
Other than all these orchards getting renewed.
Yeah, you every once in a while, every year or so, you knock down a hickory tree out of your woods. And that's what I like, because when you get the branches that are maybe as big around as a softball, you just go down one of those and cut discs off about 2 inches thick.
Yeah.
And
looks like a hockey puck.
Yeah, exactly. And you throw those in I got a big plastic box. You did that 3 or 4 years ago, and I took a whole big tote of those, and I'm still using them.
Yeah.
Used one yesterday. But it only takes one.
But even these people with, you look at, what's the big brand that's out there? Masterbuilt.
Yeah.
And there's another one that's, makes it for all kinds of other people. Basically the same thing. It looks like a mini gun safe or something.
Yeah.
They have a little tray in the bottom, and they're either using propane or an electric element.
Right.
And they're heating up wood. You can throw one of those pucks in that tray. You don't have to use wood chips.
Right.
You can just take wood from your backyard. I mean, I've told the story a bunch of times about cooking on the beach in Florida. I used driftwood.
Right.
It was great.
Yeah. A little salty, but other than that, it was good, right?
I used a little less salt on the ribs. But it's funny. They're, you know, in Jamaica, I know a Jamaican man, a few of them. Anyway, they love pimento.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a type of plant. It's not the little thing that goes in your olive.
Right.
It's different than what we call a pimento. But they love pimento wood. And that's just, if you're in Jamaica, or I would say some of the Caribbean islands, that's what you're going to have because there's so much of it. It grows like brush.
Yeah. So I back to where we are here. You remember is last week or the week before, I had one of my guys I work with at my day job came in and said, man, I made a big mistake. I bought this stuff called lump rather than charcoal briquettes. And I'm like, no, that was divine intervention for you, brother, is all that was. But so
you're so right.
Explain that, though, now what lump is, because he didn't know. He'd been grilling. You know, the guy's 40 years old. He'd been grilling his whole life, and he just grabbed the wrong bag and thought he had no idea what to do with it when he opened it up.
And I guess that's a great point, because as you look in these stores, there are so many now, thankfully, brands and stuff, and they're all rated a little differently. But you got to rate it yourself. You can go to a site called The Naked Whiz.
Right.
And make sure that you put WHIZ on there.
Right.
Because if you do the other one, it's a porn site.
Right.
But it's a site called The Naked Whiz. And I don't think they've rated in a few years. But they would let people do reviews. And you can find all sorts of ratings on charcoal. But I tell you to do it yourself.
Right.
Buy a small bag of Frontier. Now, I think it's kind of junk. Buy a small bag of Cowboy. I think it's kind of junk, but you might love it. And if you're not used to a good lump charcoal and you get stuck with a bag of one of those other up-and-comers, you'll think it's great. But one thing you'll have to notice is that lump charcoal has about a 1,250 burn temp.
Right.
Briquettes have about 800. So if you're using lump, you've got to use less of it, or you're going to burn your meats, especially if you don't have a deep basket to burn from.
Right.
So that's the first thing you'll notice. And what did your buddy say?
Well, he was afraid to use it. And he's like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with it. And he tried to put it in his chimney and get it started, and it got really hot, right? I don't know if it melted his chimney, but he was like, man, I don't really know what I'm doing.
When he says chimney, it's a Weber device. Weber came out with it. It looks like a flour sifter, and you put your charcoal on the top. And the thought was to put wadded-up newspaper in the bottom, and it starts your first batch of coals, and it works very effectively.
Yep. Yep.
So has he followed up with you? Has he tried it?
Yeah, he did. And after I told him, I said, you're going to need less of it, and you're probably not going to cook over top of it direct. You want it a little bit offset, because that extra 300-400 degrees you're going to get off there, you're not going to be used to cooking on it until you try it a couple times. But I said, you know, he's a young dad. His wife's at home with a couple. They got twins. And so, you know, I'm like, the good part about this is you can snuff it out when you're done, shut the air off, and then you can relight it.
Is he using a Kamado cooker?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, he's using a Weber, but he's got,
I remember a friend of mine, after I sold him a big green egg, he filled the thing full of charcoal and lit it.
It exploded in his face.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
That's called the learning curve.
Right, yeah. I might have learned that.
We've all done stuff
right,
like that.
Exactly. But anyway.
And that's the fun of it. And right. If you're always honest enough to admit it.
Yeah, so. Why not? All right. The Naked Wiz, NakedWhiz, is still out there. They continue to rate. Says it's their 75th rating event that they're doing right now. So check it out if you want to learn about lump charcoal. You're listening to Grilling Guys. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so
welcome
big,
back. It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you just tuned in, happy Father's Day weekend to all of you guys. Hope if you can get Mama out there on the grill or one of your kids to... Dad, sit back, put your feet up, have a cold beverage, and let them serve you this time.
I'm so happy that my buddy Randy finally gets to celebrate Father's Day. Yeah. He had a couple 20-year-olds.
Yep, it's all good. And one of them's got a child. It'll be his first Father's Day, so
wow,
that's cool.
That's
you've
big.
Got a new
that's
you've
big.
Got a new grandson, first
that's
grandson.
Big.
Would
yeah.
you get six granddaughters and one
we had,
grandson?
Jordan and his wife Allie had. Misha Alexander,
yeah,
and boy, that's causing quite the stir because is everybody it? Wants to know about the name.
Okay,
and there's
sure.
just a funny story there, but I won't bore you with it again.
Right,
food trucks. So as I've said before, I am working the builder program at Menards, and I basically write quotes and do takeoffs and help builders spec out their houses and pole barns. Right. And when it's slow, I stand at the counter with all the guys selling lumber, or I go back in the lumber yard, which I love because there's forklifts everywhere and there's just mountains of lumber, and that's my thing, right?
Smells good.
Oh, yeah. It smells so good. Well, the other day I was in there, and this guy came up, and he's asking this and that, and he said he wanted to – he was looking for a certain part, which wasn't in our department. It's way on the giant store in Wyoming, Michigan. And so I took him over to the electric and he said he was building a food truck. And I'm like, man, there's just so many people building food trucks. I got buddies that are building them, people, kids that, you know, my kids went to school with. They're just getting this idea and they're buying these trucks. And they're, this guy bought, what was it? It was an old short school bus, like the type you took to school.
Mm-hmm. Windows were clean, though, because I licked them a lot. Yeah.
So he bought a short school bus. And, you know, they're doing all kinds of fabricating, like, you know.
Marcos was
talking about. But a lot of them do it themselves. And so they go into a store like ours, and they just buy all these parts and pieces. And it was cool because he was doing so many things that I have an HVAC background and building background, and I learned a lot about electric from my neighbor. So I was able to help him straighten out a lot of little things he's doing, right? I'm old, so
right.
He's a young guy, and he's saving him money probably.
So this is this bus, then he's going to drive this thing down the road. Many of the guys that's why we had Marcos in, is they'll call a food truck a big trailer,
right,
that they pull behind their
and
vehicle.
That's good.
Yeah. There's both, right? And they're different. They're very different, because if you're doing one that you drive down the road, you have to build some sort of serving window out the side of it. And I've always wondered.
Well, you do with the trailers too.
Well, yeah, but you know, where you can
they
set a table.
They are lower to the ground. They'll put the axles to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I've always wondered is you've got cooking equipment inside of these things. And I should talk to somebody that's got one. But it seems to me that as you're driving down the road, every bump you're hitting, every weld is getting stressed, every joint
it's
is getting stressed.
It's got to be a rattle trap.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're, and that causes things to leak, and that
I think the second and third generation, if you're making your own, are much better.
Yeah.
But I think these guys that do it professionally have also figured out stowage, because you have to have places that you can put things that won't fall out of the drawer. The cabinet doors have to latch, and you got to find a way to buffer some of that rattling so that your equipment doesn't get beat up.
Right.
And that it doesn't drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Or you got to get a really loud sound speaker.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like I said, I just need to talk to one of these guys and see that's been driving around one of these trucks for a couple years. It seems to me that there'd be quite a little bit of maintenance on them.
Well,
but maybe
I'm
not.
Sure,
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a certain amount, but they've also... they learn from each other. It's a community. And we had the Pizza Parliament, was it, in here a couple years ago? And he's got a truck like that. And were you not in that show when he was here?
Maybe but not. I don't
remember. The guy that made pizza for us, Conrad?
Yes, sir.
That thing, he's got a pizza oven that's
but I wasn't here.
Gas.
You weren't here.
And it's got a conveyor belt, just like the big pizza places.
Yeah, the
and
little
he just
chain.
Keeps throwing them on there.
You want to talk about drooling. I mean, Bob was just...
but those pizzas were so good. This kid's talented.
Yeah.
He's got it, I think it's still parked in front of New Union right now.
Oh, okay.
It's like a fixture. Yeah. And I think sometimes if your food's good enough, that truck doesn't move a lot.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I mean, you got a place like that. It's a brewery that doesn't serve food. And when you're drinking beer, it's not better to have something to munch on. And fresh pizza is probably not a bad idea.
Taco
right?
Bell's right up there.
Right, yeah. No, that's all good. That's all good. But
food trucks are a thing. I just wanted to put that topic out there because I knew there was miles and miles of conversation to have there based on what everybody has experienced. I mean, look at, they have these food truck shows where – they'll close off downtown, and a bunch of food trucks will come in.
Right.
And I'm sure they'll have another one this summer.
I work downtown in the Bridgewater place, and we had a cafeteria in the building. It's more of a deli, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was short order stuff they'd cook for you. Really good, big salad bar. It was really nice to have it there. Well, Friday was their last day. They pulled out, and we've got nothing now. And our lease, as well as many of the other tenants, requires a commissary or a place to go get food in the building, right? Because
you should get a discount on your rent then.
Well, the thing is they're substituting it with food trucks. Now, that was the solution until they get somebody else back in there and to
cool
open the thing
that?
Up. But yeah, so every day at noon, they're going to have three trucks a day that come in. So you got choices.
Wow.
Right? But you know, this is a side effect of our famous COVID. Because I talked to the guy, I knew him, right? I'm a food guy, he's a food guy, so we got to know each other. And he said pre-COVID he'd do $1,800 to $2,000 a day in lunches.
And now nobody's coming to the
office. $300 to $400 a day.
Wow.
And he says, I can't make it here.
Not with the rent they get at the Barnum building.
Right, yeah. So But anyway, so we're going to be experiencing food trucks, right? Because that was just last Friday, starting Monday.
And they're not paying any rent.
No, they're not paying any rent.
The Varnum is probably bending over backwards to get them to come in there,
right,
making accommodations.
Right, yeah. There's property manager there that handles all of that, but they're aware of it, and they've made arrangements. And I don't know, it'll be fun to see, actually, because they said they'd have three different ones there a day, parked right out front and right on Bridge Street, and we'll...
Well, I bet Pizza Parliament will be one of them.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't know what they're doing.
I hope so you get to try that pizza.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
You know, because there are still a lot of people there, but not nearly as many as there were.
But you know what the biggest one, you know what I would tell you the biggest food truck is?
What's that?
You tell me.
I'm going to say probably Mexican food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
That's why you can't buy a used flat top.
Oh.
There's so many Mexican restaurants and food trucks starting up that good luck trying to find a used flat top like I had in the kitchen there. You won't find them.
I wonder, I always thought like a old UPS truck. Or something,
I did too.
Because those things are maintained like tremendously.
And they're built specifically to beat the heck out of them.
Right. And they're empty on the inside so you can get creative and do stuff. And
They put about 150,000 miles on them. So you know it's going to have some life left in it.
Right.
And the doors never shut.
Yeah. And they maintain them. That's the thing is, you know, you got a big firm like that. Probably the same thing with a FedEx truck or an Amazon truck or whatever.
FedEx has some really nice big bread trucks like that too.
Yeah,
I think they make even better food trucks. But if you notice, the FedEx trucks are all contractors.
Yeah, yeah.
And they run the ever-loving
Amazon
out of them.
Yeah, I think Amazon
because
is too. But whatever,
they're trying to make money.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're a food truck driver and you're listening to this, reach out to us go to our website, drop us a note. You can email, our email addresses are there, hit Bob or I, because I think it'd be kind of fun. We had a couple of them on, but it'd be fun to bring somebody back again.
Well, you can just come to the studio on Saturday morning and set up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We're hungry all the time.
Yeah, there'll be three of us that'll be out there like seagulls eating whatever you got. No, but anyway, it's all good. But
yeah, anyway, I don't know. I thought, and sure enough, it turns out that way, that it would just be a fun conversation and something to ponder because we're all seeing them so much.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It is Father's Day weekend. Get out there, Dad, and fire up the grill and feed your family something only you like.
Well, or maybe Mom gets on the grill.
There you go.
Kids get on the grill and give Dad a break.
Right.
And you wait on him hand and foot.
That's right. Have him put his feet up.
Don't make him cook.
Cold beverage in his
hand. Can you do that? Can you relax and let somebody else cook?
If I'm not watching.
No, he can't do that.
Yeah, right.
Don't watch.
Right, exactly. Look the other way and just let it happen and eat whatever.
Put your headset on, get a pina colada, and sit by the pool.
Right. That is a recipe for success on Father's Day. So we appreciate you tuning in. Get out there, grill something this weekend, have a good time, and we will talk with you next week.
See ya.